I usually begin the afternoon lesson complimenting the cooks on the work they did, but I didn't eat any of the food. But I know from the number of trips that Lloyd Ward made back and forth from the food, it was delicious. It smelled good, and I know our guests enjoyed the food, and we appreciate all the good work that you do. And I wanted to call attention to the contribution before I begin the lesson. That's just wonderful. That just staggers me. Originally, according to his tabulation, it was about $18,334 for this month. That's a lot of money for a little group of people. And I commend you for it, and we appreciate your love and generosity. And we try to use that money wisely. Randy's always kidding about him and me taking trips, you know, going here and there. But we don't do it. We're not doing it. It's just a show. But we try to use that money wisely. And we try to help in the Ireland work and in India and Africa and the Navajo and TVs and the orphans' homes and the Spanish work on the internet. And I don't know if I left anybody out, but we're able to do a lot of things because of your generosity. Good to have these guys with us. We invite you to come back, see us again. I'm not going to talk very long this afternoon, but this is when we all get to heaven, and I wanted Seth to lead that song because that's the title of this lesson. And I just want to make these points kind of briefly, but we'll make them. First point is, when we get to heaven, of course, we don't know exactly what it'll be like. We have descriptions of it and get a picture of it, but my, to be there in person, it's got to be fantastically beyond anything that God said about it. And we will then, when we get there, be at a point where we will have shared a common history. I wonder, you think about your kinfolk that have gone on, maybe they're able to get together and talk about the way it was on the earth. Maybe some questions come up like, well, how was your trip? That's what we do back here. We take these trips, vacation time or holiday season time or business trip. Well, how did your trip go? You know, that question could come up over there a lot. Talking about your experience on the earth. How was your trip? And I've often thought about the varying circumstances that engulf people. The trips are not always the same. Some people have very pleasant trips. All in all, a little heartache, but generally pleasant trips. And other people, well, how was your trip? It was rough. It was rough. And I was glad, so glad when it was over. So you've got all these people saved on the other side that have this marvelous shared history. Our pilgrimage, we just sang about that. Over there, our traveling days will be over. The traveling days will be over. We will have arrived and we will have a common history. 1 Peter 1:17, we sojourn, we have our pilgrimage on this earth. 2 Peter 1:1, that's just the way it is. And while we're here, we're fighting for the truth. We're standing up for the truth, Jude 3. Secondly, when we get there, we will be in a most uncommon place. We will have shared a common history to make it all the way to a very uncommon place. The descriptions in glory will be beyond anything I would imagine that God has said. He talked about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper and all of that, and that's marvelous. But that's picking it up from the viewpoint of what I see with my eyes. He can't describe it in images that I know nothing about. And so it's got to be far superior to what he's described. And when I get there, we'll say, boy, I've never seen anything like this, because you couldn't. Because now the veil of physicality is pulled back and you're able to see the land of glory. The majesty of God, the brilliance of it all. You think about the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, let's multiply that a million times. And think about the glory of heaven, a most uncommon place. Nothing merely suited to earth is there. No marriage, nothing material, no money. We see, of course, the fulfillment of the words of Christ that the treasuries are all spiritual blessings, spiritual benefits. No devil, no death, no temptation or threat, no enemies. And for a second time now, we experience all things are new. That's the second time we experience it. First time is when we became Christians. If any man's in Christ, you know, everything's new. Over there, Revelation 20, all things, 21, all things are new. In Revelation 22, 1 through 5, it's a marvelous scene of heaven over there. And John sees this great throne, this throne. It's the throne of God. And he sees a river coming out of the throne. You got the river of life, and you've got the tree of life. And you've got light, and you have service being rendered, and you've got brethren reigning. And all that in just a few verses over there. Brethren are reigning with God. There's a throne here, there's light here, there's service here, there's a tree here, there's a river here. And it all has to do with spiritual blessings. Number three, we will realize a new feeling, and that by that feeling we will know that heaven was, in fact, worth it all. I experience everything on the earth in this body, but over there I'll have another one. And I don't know exactly how it's going to give me the metaphysical counterpart to sensation. I see things here, I hear things here, and taste things, smell things, but over there, nothing material. So the new body is going to be suited to the new atmosphere. And as I, Mac Deaver, am clothed in this new body, I will have a new, I guess you just call it a new kind of feeling. And I will know by that body and by that experience in that domain, heaven was worth it all. I might have thought back on the earth I had a few problems through aggravations, things like that, but my goodness, that was nothing. The New Testament told the truth about that. Why, the things we go through, Paul said, are nothing to be compared to what's over there waiting us. The eternal weight of glory, he would talk about. And so we'll be able to detect that. And when we all get to heaven, number four, we'll note the sparse population, relatively speaking. There'll be a lot of people there from the beginning of time down to the end of the world. But just, you know, comparing numbers, comparing what is there with all that was down here, you know, there's not a whole lot of people here in heaven, is there? And the words of Jesus come to mind that few are they that find it. He was asked on one occasion, Luke 13:23, Lord, are there a few people that are saved? He said, you better really make an effort. Really make an effort to enter in the straight path, because people are going to be trying to get to it and shall not be able. He didn't stop and explain why. But in answer to the question, in effect, it was, yeah, a few, just a few. And in Matthew 7:13-14, he just comes out and says it. So the sparse population when we all get to heaven. Five. But we noticed in the sparse population when we all get to heaven, we have shared character. Everybody's good. Everybody's righteous. Everybody's redeemed. Everybody's the same ethically, spiritually mindedly, purity-wise. There aren't gradations. There's not a scale. You got some good folk here and some bad folk here and some in-between kind of people that you might have in communities. But nothing is like that over there. Everybody that made it loved God while he was down here with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we see that expressed in their character up there. Shared character. Everybody's the same by the blood of Christ. If Adam is there, it's because Jesus died for him, Hebrews 2:9. If I'm there, it's because Jesus died for me. And so the wiping away of the sin, the redemption of the soul, the regeneration of the spirit, all these things come into final fruition up there. It's all a beautiful, eternal, shared character. And when we all get to heaven, we'll see that great white throne and the form and the face of God. That's an incredible thing. Philippians 2, 5 and 6, when Jesus came down here, He gave up the form of God. But when we go over there, we get to see God as He is. In Revelation 22, He says, in that scene, we're discussing those various things, and we see the face of God. What He wouldn't let Moses see. What He wouldn't let anybody else see. And now over there, we get to see what God really looks like. He's always had form. I'm trying to understand this more as I go through certain passages. You know He has form, Philippians 2, 6. And by the way, think about this quickly. When Jesus came down here, He didn't give up the form of God's with a little g. And He didn't give up the forms of God with a big G. Are you with me? He didn't give up the forms of, you know, gods, many gods. And He didn't even give up the forms of God as though God and the Holy Spirit had more than one form. It's not like that. He gave up the form of God in the singular. So that means that when He took upon Himself the form of a man, that the Holy Spirit and the Father still were there holding one form. It's hard to get a hold of. I was thinking when I was working over this point in my mind, maybe we look at it from a wrong angle. We make it harder to get at. When you think about two things right beside each other, you know, you're thinking about two items and two forms. I was thinking if you could think about God like an onion, one form, and you have three layers. You pull the onion skin, the outer layer off, becomes flesh. The other two layers stay there, but the form stayed the same. If you can look at it from the viewpoint of an overall abiding and constant form with a sub series of onion skins. Think about it like that. Maybe it'll help us to get a better hold on the Godhead. Not more than one form. See, I used to tell preacher students, we don't have three gods. And the way I think some of our brethren think about it, the way they describe it, it's just like we have three gods. But we don't. We have one God. Three manifestations. And when we all get to heaven, I think what we're going to see is, I know from 1 John 3, 2, we're going to see Jesus Christ even as He is, as the Son of Mary and as the Son of God. But there's an interesting passage in 1 Corinthians 15, it's about verse 28, when Jesus gives the kingdom back to God on the resurrection morning, turns it back, that God may be all in all. And I wonder what that means. Somehow, it's like while He's still being the Son of God and the Son of Mary, and I'm going to be like Him, it's almost like He goes back and He's conjoined again with the Father and the Holy Spirit in a way. That God may be all in all. It's kind of peculiar. But what I'm saying is, when we all get to heaven, we'll get to see God, and we'll get to see the face of God, and we'll see the Lamb, and we'll see the Holy Spirit, and we'll get to see each other. And number 7, we'll get to bask in the glory of God and the Lamb, Revelation 21, 3. Get to be there with the Father and the Son, and just bask in the glory of God. And what will that be like? There's no way to explain or to understand completely how that will affect us. And number 8, when we all get to heaven, we'll marvel at the times on the earth when we maybe doubted something God said about something. So why was I like that? Why wasn't I better? Why didn't I have more faith? I told people to have faith. I told them, it was good. It was easy to tell people how to do it. Why couldn't I have done better? Why couldn't I have had more faith? Why did I doubt God? You know, it's always, things are going to work out for the righteous. Matthew 6:33. They always do. I got an email. It came while we were out of town. And I got it when I got back. And I was looking at it a day or two ago, a fellow, a preacher I'd known in Denton, had written me several weeks ago. He wanted me to give him some suggestions for a presentation he was going to be making at a college, one of these, and he's already done it now. So I told him some things that I thought would be helpful or useful to him. And he was involved in some controversy with some people in the Black Brotherhood. And anyway, he had gone and made his presentation, and he thought the influence of these people that he was confronting at the college was on the wane, but it was still strong in some places. In fact, he said, it's already cost me my employment. My goodness. When I was a younger preacher teaching even younger preachers, you know, I used to think about that. Preachers have a hard time a lot of times. I'm not trying to discourage our guests, but you have to face the real world. For Christians, sometimes it's hard, and for preachers, it's sometimes hard. But I've learned this, I've known this, and I told preachers this. I don't care. You just preach the truth, and you live the truth, and God will take care of you. He always does. You don't go around like a politician, you know, just watching to see what you're supposed to say in this town in order to get a new vote or make a new friend. It's not like that. God knows how to take care of His people. So why did I doubt anything? And I'm sure, and this preacher knows that. He knows that God will provide. And I wrote him back a little note. He will. God will take care of me. He does. Faithful preachers and faithful brethren, He always takes care. At least that's been my experience. David once said, I've been young, now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Jesus told us about a beggar he knew. But in David's experience, he'd never seen that. It's interesting. Faith, we will marvel because of the way it turned out. And faith will now eventuate or come along with sight. Faith's not going to be lost in sight. We've talked about that. You don't lose faith because you go to heaven. Lord, the only ones with faith are those not here. No, you don't lose faith by going to heaven. Faith is with sight. Faith is with sight up there. And we'll marvel at the days of disbelief on the earth. And number 9, the final point. When we all get to heaven, everybody is going to look so good. Maybe you'll be able to recall the last time you saw somebody on the earth. Man alive, brother so-and-so, you look so much better than the last time I saw you. I was at your funeral. Or I saw you at the hospital just the day before you died. Maybe you'll remember some expressions and something, you know, in the face. And now you see them again over there and my, my, oh, you look so good. I've told you the last time I saw my grandmother on my father's side, we'd stopped by Breckenridge to just see her at the nursing home, and she was lying down, and I looked into her face, and I'd never seen such age in a face. And she was looking, it was almost like she was just looking through me, just penetrating. I don't even know if she knew me. She just had her head looking through me, and so old. But it's not going to be like that over there. And all those people that we last saw and their conditions were not so good. But over there, everything is new. And in Revelation 22, that tree of life, the leaves on it. You know, it's a figurative description, but he said, it's for the healing of the nations. The nations are members of the church from the various nations. It's for the healing. We're all right now. The trip was okay. Lasted just a little while. Our traveling days are behind us. We came through all right. And look at us now. By the glory of God, everything is as it ought to be. It'll be a wonderful thing. We've sung that song for many years. When we all get to heaven, let's so live by the grace of God that it will be fulfilled in our lives. If you're here this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith. Repent of your sins, make the good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?